Well, welcome everybody to our final Lenten reflection. This last one is called Report. That is, report the good news that he is risen. And you do that as a family. So let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to us, that he would show us his love, your love, so profoundly, that he would die for our sins to make perfect atonement, to bring back union with God for all of humanity. We ask you to help us transform our families into beacons of light within our communities, that we may radiate the good news of God's love to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to start out with a reading from Evangelii Nuntiandi. This is chapter or section 71. One cannot fail to stress the evangelizing action of the family in the evangelizing apostolate of the laity. At different moments in the church's history, and also in the Second Vatican Council, the family has well deserved the beautiful name of domestic church. This means that there should be found in every Christian family the various aspects of the entire church. Furthermore, the family, like the church, ought to be a place where the gospel is transmitted and from which the gospel radiates. In a family which is conscious of this mission, all the members evangelize and are evangelized. The parents not only communicate the gospel to their children, but from their children, they can themselves receive the same gospel as deeply lived by them. As such, a family becomes the evangelizer of many other families and of the neighborhood of which it forms part. Families resulting from a mixed marriage may also have the duty of proclaiming Christ to their children in the fullness of the consequences of a common baptism. They have, moreover, the difficult task of becoming builders of unity. Everyone has a witness of how God has transformed their lives, of their family. So I thought starting out with, I guess, words from the church, just to show that this is nothing new, right? Jesus himself came to the earth and he participated in a family for 30 hidden years, mostly hidden years. We have a little bit at the beginning. We got a little bit when he's age 12. But the rest of that time, he lived in relative silence. The scriptures don't share anything about what that life looked like. But do you imagine, I imagine that he was evangelizing, that family was evangelizing others around them. How could they not? Right? They had love as the center, two perfect people, human people, Mary and our Lord, and Joseph, who was probably, well, he was called the just man. Right? It was a very honorable term to be given to him. So he was fairly holy himself. And now we call him Saint Joseph. So here's a family of saints, well, and God, living in the world 30 years in relative silence. They weren't evangelizing the whole world, but they were evangelizing in the community in which they lived. Those who would come in contact with that family in day-to-day activities, you know, borrowing food, coming over and participating in weddings in the community, praying at synagogue, right? There were lots of just normal activities in which the Lord said for 30 years, it is good just for me to be part of this community and for our family to evangelize those that are put before us. You have anything?
I think one of the things I like to ponder is, you know, how Jesus was probably the sole provider for Mary when she became a widow, because the son took care of the mother. And so his father was a carpenter, therefore he was a carpenter. And so there was a time where he worked and sanctified that work and lived the family life through that normal activity. And just teaching us that role model of, duty and caregiving all in love. It's a beautiful silent witness.
Yeah, I mean, just the day-to-day lives, right? What is the mission of the family? We talked about it in the beginning, but I've talked about it in a few of the talks. And in fact, we probably talked about it without saying it in every talk. The mission of the family is to guard, reveal, and communicate love. And love is a person, and that is Jesus Christ, with his arms extended upon the cross, offering mercy to the whole world. And our families are called to do that through the six topics that we've talked about, right? That God has a mission for our family. We are to prioritize him above all things. That's the first aspect of God's plan for family life. Secondly, that we're called to be a family of prayer. Next, that we're called to be a family of joy, right? Of being playful and joyful in our family life. And then to unconditionally love one another within the family and outside of the family. And then to embrace community. And when you have that foundation, when you have worked on each of those things within your family, you are going to be a light to the world, a light to the community, a light to the neighborhood, a light to the church. You will inspire other people without having to say anything.
And I was just also contemplating the one other aspect of, when you become a witness and when you become an evangelizing family, you have this great opportunity to heal the brokenhearted, to heal family members, to heal families that maybe are not able to live out that call and witness at that moment in time because of something that has happened in their family, some brokenness that has happened. And so, to the extent that we can become good witnesses, we also become good healers to the community.
Yeah, so really, God's preparing each family to meet the needs of others. Our family, we most of our kids are grown now. We have two at home. It's quite a different life for us. Back when we had a lot of little ones, we were involved in soccer. We were involved in the choir. We did a lot of things that brought us into contact with other families that had young children. That's different now. We send our kids off to events for homeschooling by themselves. We don't go as much as we used to. In fact, when we show up, people ask, who are your grandkids? Because we're old now, and we look it. I look it. I'm sorry, not my wife. She doesn't look like a grandmother until she's holding a baby. But we're just in a different place in life. Yet we're still called to evangelize, right? We're called to encourage others in this walk. Right, to preach the good news, right? I still, when I introduce myself at work, I'm not actually being boastful or looking for opportunities. People will ask, "Well, what'd you do last week?" And I said, "Oh, well, we ran a retreat for families," or yeah, we attended church and we had lunch with some of our fellow parishioners, right? When I share our lives, things that are going on, or I talk about my grandkids, or that I have nine children. People are evangelized by that, just by the witness of our lives. Because they might ask, that, oh, you have nine children. Wow, I thought two was a lot. In fact, I had this happen just the other day where I shared about me having a large family, and this guy who was in the class, he didn't say anything negative. He just said, "Wow, that's a lot. We just had our first." And I could tell by the way that he shared that he was looking forward to more, that he was a little scared of what it was going to be like to be a father, right? And either they just had their child, or they were expecting their first. But you could tell there was a little bit of hesitancy, and me just sharing in the course of introducing myself that I had nine children, we ended up talking about that. And I just, assured him that every child will change your life for the better, right? And that was a small witness. It was in the course of my work life, not in the course of church. But that's kind of the beauty of families and why we are called to evangelize others, because our parish priests, religious sisters, they aren't necessarily going to have access to the same people that we do. We live regular lives. We go to work. We go to the grocery store. We do all these things. We participate in sports. There's lots of things that families do that bring us into contact with a lot of people who need to hear the good news. And they're going to hear the good news a lot of times just by meeting us. There was a guy that I worked with many years ago, and I don't even think I was very obvious about what I was doing. I wasn't sharing like, oh yeah, I just this past weekend I got back from a retreat. I didn't share any of that. I mean, at that point, I was just going to work, and I didn't know I was different. And yet, when the guy decided he was going to become Catholic, he asked me to be his RCIA sponsor, and I was shocked. I didn't know what he was going to talk. I said, "Alan, do you have a minute? I'd like to ask you something." And he said, "I'm going to be entering the RCIA program, and well, as part of that, I need to have a sponsor." And I'm thinking, "Oh, well, that's really good. Congratulations!" Never in a million years did I think he was actually going to ask me to be his sponsor, but he did. So, just by living our lives and by orienting ourselves towards God, and that could be individually, that could be as a couple, that could be as a family. When we orient ourselves towards God and learn to love as God loves, it shows. And God brings people into our lives so that we can witness to them. We don't have to know everything about the faith. Don't let that stop you. What you should do is you should be introspective and know yourself and know how God has affected your life and be able to articulate that. So I would say that that's kind of a knowing your witness, right? So anything else you'd like to say before we go into the witness, the practical aspects of this?
Well, I know in my own experience, the things that I've had experiences when my family is shining and there's a light coming from us because things are going well, things are ordered well, you find other people asking you, how do you do this? How do you do that? There's more people notice that. And so they'll approach you. And so be prepared to share with them things that you've learned, things that have worked well for you and your family. But to the extent that you're struggling and there's difficulties and you no longer become that light, then you have to like really work on correcting what's going on in your family so that you can then be a light again to the world.
Right. And even if you're not a perfect light, don't let that discourage you, because people are, I think, affected by families that are in the midst of the struggle. Because a lot of families think that they need to be perfect and they get very discouraged when they're not. And so when the Lord prompts you, when He puts someone in your path and prompts you to share something that perhaps is not comfortable for you to share, answer the call, because you don't know why the Lord prompted you to share that or prompted you to share a struggle that you're currently in. But it may be for a very good reason. You may have somebody that needs to hear that they're going through something very similar. And that's a way that we do it. I think we've even raised our own children to do that as well, that they will share and they'll talk to us about, oh, this person here was having this problem with one of their siblings and whatnot.
And many times it's in our brokenness, in our struggles, in the things, in the crosses that the Lord's given us to carry, that we can make the most profound witness for others when they can see how we've gone through that cross or how we've struggled through that cross. We become support for others who maybe have to carry a similar cross. And so it's very important to be confident, to be vulnerable, to share real struggles that your family has been through.
Right. So I give the example of when we used to go to church with all of our little ones, and we'd be sitting up front because we were trying to get our kids to be better at mass. And so a very large church, 1,700 seats. And we'd be sitting up front and just really worrying about them being good and not making a whole lot of noise or not fighting with each other. And after Mass, we were pretty worn out. And so we'd be outside after Mass, and someone would come up to us and, "Oh, your family's so beautiful." And we're like, "Were you sitting anywhere near us to this Mass?" And they say, "Oh, no, your family's so beautiful." And many times we just were not prepared to actually share any wisdom. And so we would say thank you and run off and catch kids. But those types of opportunities are I think, opportunities for us if we're ready to share a little nugget, right? So say it's like this, right? You have somebody come up and you say something like that after Mass, and you say, "Oh, well, thank you. We work hard at this. We used to not have family meals during the week, and we realized that was not good. And so through prayer, we decided that we were going to adjust our schedule so that we could have dinner together twice a week, right? And we're working on that. And you know, you can just give something about, "Oh, well, you thought our kids were good at Mass." Well, you know, for a while there, we actually practiced. We set up the house for Mass, and we taught the kids how to sit, stand, and kneel. And then we give them a reward if they were good at Mass. And that's what we've done. Right. Or you can give lots of examples of even something very quick if you're ready. Right. If you've thought about it and you say, "Well, if somebody does come up to us, you know, here's what I would say. Here's a tip I would give a younger family who sees something in us that, just in the course of daily life at Mass or, you know, at the soccer field or whatever." Right. But you have to be ready for that. And you have to know that, you know, "I was this way before the Lord entered into my life." In other words, I started praying. I started attending an extra Mass a week. I started going to adoration, right? What was it how the Lord entered into your life? And then how is your family different because of that, right? And it should take no more than 2 or 3 minutes to actually give that witness. Here's who we were. We were crazy. We were busy all the time. And we were stressed out. And the Lord told us, "I didn't mean you for this." And so we decided to make some hard changes and we gave up everything 1 year. And then we added it back slowly, making sure that we still had time for our family so that we were not constantly busy. And when something beautiful did come up after Mass or you meet a family that you wanted to get together with, you can invite them over because your schedule was not 100% full. Right? We were able to let the Lord work through our family because we weren't so busy. Now that's just a very short witness, but that's something that happened in our lives. We were really, really busy and it wasn't good. It wasn't good for our family and it wasn't good for us to be able to witness to other families or to even, you know, have the opportunity to respond to grace like that of someone coming up and wanting to get to know us better or spend time with our family. And we made changes that made it such that we could do that.
I guess the only other thing I was thinking about in the flip side, you know, we talked a lot about how people might come up to you, but also just always looking out and seeing where you can encourage others, where you can compliment others, where you can, you know, promote living God's plan for family life to other families. That's another way we evangelize the world. Because I know many times I've come across young mothers who, you know, feel like they have never imagined having a large family or never thought that was for them. And just by seeing our large family, it opens up, well, maybe I could do that, you know? So just like being able to encourage other people who maybe haven't traveled a road you've traveled, that you can be a good witness in that way. Just,
yeah,
you know, even just as much as going to Mass every day, you know, like I found that very edifying for my family to take the kids to daily Mass and then it helped train them for Sunday Mass. And so to share that as a witness to other moms who might be trying to figure out how to train their children for Mass time, it was, you know, something that worked for me.
Right. And so there's families of all types. I mean, we have a large family. My mother was an only child. My grandmother, was one of two. I was an only child. My brother's adopted, right? I didn't come from a large family, right? Yeah, my grandmother was a huge witness, right? She went to daily Mass. I mean, just a witness to her grandchildren. And I'm sure a witness to many other Catholics that she knew from daily Mass, from her senior citizens club, from the the trip she used to take, right? So we can be a witness wherever the Lord has planted us, right? Not everybody has a large family, although in many Catholic communities, that's something that's held in real high regard. But the struggle of fertility is also something that is a heavy cross to bear, but can also bear a lot of fruit. So whatever state the Lord has put us in, whether it's to have a small family, no kids, a medium-sized family, or a large family, right? That doesn't really matter. We all have a witness. And that's kind of the beauty of the family being an evangelizer. One, you're called to evangelize your own children. And two, you're called to evangelize those that know your family. And we can do that without having to be a biblical scholar, right? The Lord works in all of our lives. The Lord speaks to every one of us. And Evangelii Nuntiandi says, because I really love that article, because it's Evangelization in the Modern World, written by Pope Paul VI. And it says, above all, the gospel must be proclaimed by witness. Take a Christian or a handful of Christians who, in the midst of their own community, show their capacity for understanding and acceptance, their sharing of life and destiny with other people, their solidarity with the efforts of all for whatever is noble and good. Why are they like this? People ask this question. Why are they like this? Why do they live in this way? What or who is it that inspires them? Why are they in our midst? Such a witness is already a silent proclamation of the good news, and a very powerful and effective one. But you have to be ready to give a witness the reason for your hope, right? And I would say that the last couple of things in here is those whose life has been transformed enter a community which is itself a sign of transformation, a sign of newness of life. So each family is part of a larger community. And as you witness to God's love to others, they will be inspired. And then they, in turn, will inspire someone else. And you will build up this fantastic Christian community if you are willing and able to share your witness with others. Because each of us evangelizes other people. We either evangelize the good news of the gospel, or we evangelize something that's not the good news of the gospel. And that's important to remember, right? The more we get to know love itself, the better will we be able to draw other people to love himself. So with that, we have the beautiful feast of Easter coming up. We have Holy Week. This is one of the holiest weeks of the year. The Easter Triduum is a single mass that spans 3 days, starting on Holy Thursday, continuing on Good Friday, and culminating with the Easter Vigil, in which oftentimes new members of the church are welcomed in. It's a beautiful thing to do. As parents, we used to bring our little kids to the Easter Triduum. And they're not the shortest of masses, and they're not the earliest of masses. And we would always bring what our kids needed, whether it was a small blanket for them to go to sleep on during the Easter Vigil, or just something just to make them a little more comfortable so that they could enjoy the parts of the Mass that they were able to. The longest one by far is the Easter Vigil. And our kids would sometimes take a little nap during the seven readings. And then they would always wake up. We didn't wake them up, but they'd always wake up for the baptisms. They loved watching the new Christians being baptized, whether they were little or old, it did not matter. They would get up, and they would go up and try to get a good seat right in front of the baptismal font. It was really beautiful. And our kids, now that they're mostly grown, they remember that. It wasn't always easy for us, but we thought that it was really good for them to be involved in the life of the church. And years later, after we did this for a long time, I got an email from one of the guys who was a parishioner at our our parish. And he said, I just want you to know that I love seeing your family. And the church we were in at that time actually was, you could see half the congregation across the altar, right? So we sat on one side, and this guy obviously sat somewhere where you could see us. And he said, I just love it. It reminds me of my family, my large family as I was growing up. And to see you over there with your kids, and they're just beautiful. And thank you for doing that. And that was a witness we were able to share without saying a word. And it inspired this man who was a little older than me, right, to remember back fondly on the way that he was raised in his family of origin. And it really encouraged me, right, as somebody who was trying to do his best to raise a family that was oriented towards the Lord. It was good that somebody else from our congregation was able to share a positive message. So we're always called to sometimes witness to others, and other times people are called to witness to us, right? And to share the beauty of God's plan. Keep charity in mind at all times. That is what will convert hearts, right? The Lord, when you look at him this week with the readings and the passion and all of that, love is central. When St. Paul talks about it, he says, do all these things, but do them with love, because if you don't do them with love, you're a noisy gong. I'm paraphrasing 1 Corinthians 13, I think. We have to do all things with love. And if we succeed, even in a halfway of teaching our family love and making our family a reflection of God's love, we will convert many, many souls to a closer union with him. And today, would you close us with prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight and ask you to prepare our hearts for this Easter Holy Week. Prepare us to have time to be still, to be present, and to be open to all the graces you have for us this week. We thank you for this opportunity to get together this evening and ask you to continue to watch over our families as we continue to nurture and grow ourselves closer to you so that we may be that witness to the world. All this we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.